1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up tonight, we have Eric Hester with a new reality show. It's called Surprise. Mr. Hester's a television producer, and this program, he says, takes reality television to where it always should have been, reality. And it is his contention that today's reality programs are nothing more than scripted and pre-programmed and so on. Dr. Jim Sadler will join us on, on how people have changed since the experience of 9/11. Now, our number is 1-800-449-8686. And today they handed over sovereignty to the Iraqi people. Today, the people of Iraq embark on a historic journey, one that our people embarked upon, other people in other countries have, trying this thing called self-government. It's a pretty tricky deal. We don't have it down by any stretch of the imagination in this country. If you listen to the way people bitch about how the government works, obviously we have no clue as to how, not no clue, but we're still taking our baby steps in this country as to how this whole thing called self-government works. Well, one of the things you can do is vote. Now, that's pretty primal, but it's still kind of a hard one for people to get a grip on. And other countries have tried it. And courtesy of a man by the name of George Bush, yeah, that's right. That's right. God knows he had more people taking pot shots at him. I don't know who else wants to jump on the bandwagon. Courtesy of a guy by the name of George Bush, a Republican who this Democrat's going to vote for, the people of Iraq had got a shot at this thing called self-government, whatever the hell that's supposed to be, however it's supposed to work, and whatever it's supposed to mean. Now, all the brain surgeons, the anthropology students, all of these Starbucks critics will tell you, yes, but you understand, these people have been under the domination of a dictator. It's completely unrealistic to ask them to, Every guy sitting around a Starbucks with his thumb in his ear, reading the Village Voice or the Ojai Voice or whatever voice, or hearing voices for that matter, will tell you, well, but that's not realistic. That, yeah, okay, well, whatever. We did it. We went ahead and went over there and did it. And by God, here we are a year and what is it? It's April was when the war started. Now, that doesn't mean the violence will end. It also doesn't mean that the insurgency will end. As a matter of fact, the power grab is going to be probably more fierce than ever, because that's what the insurgency was. It was a power grab by different groups that want to grab power. They don't want from this democracy thing. They're going to, A, make it an Islamic republic, B, return it to a Ba'athist socialist republic, C, turn it into some kind of a communist thing, D, some other goofy way of running things, or E, all of the above. But this democracy thing, if they were down with that, they wouldn't be running around trying to kill everybody. So it's a power grab. It's not a civil war. Civil war is when the people themselves are pouring into the street and they've had enough. This is a power grab. The people of Iraq look like they'd like nothing better than for all of the gunfighting and the OK Corral crap to go away. And if you talk to any soldiers that have actually been over there, which I have, the people of Iraq are damn thankful we're there. Damn thankful. And courtesy of this guy, George Bush, now they got a shot. At what? I don't know. Maybe they'll get it down better than we have. Maybe it'll be the greatest democracy that ever existed. Or maybe it'll all go down to crapper in a month, and all of the people that never lifted a finger, never so much as lifted a finger to try to give those people a fighting chance, will wag that finger that they previously had shoved up their ass, and they'll say, we told you so. Fat Ass's movie made $23 million. Let's see, counting the production cost, in other words, what he paid his cameramen and his people, well, the caterer must have been a fortune, but let's leave out the catering for a moment. Let's just say that Fat Ass had to pay his people a certain amount of money, then he cut a deal with the studio. The movie made, what, $23 million? So Fat Ass probably made about 21 of that. So Fat Ass is $21 million richer today because of the Iraq War. And his finger wagging and his criticism and his demonizing and his insults and on it goes. Through it all, never lifted a finger, never so much as lifted a pinky to help those people over there. John Kerry's running for president, never lifted a finger. Barbara Streisand, Tom Daschle, anybody you want to talk about, never lifted a bloody finger to help those people over there. Just critique. Critique after critique, criticism after criticism on how we were screwing everything up. It's the worst thing that's ever happened. Oh, my God, what a mess he's made of this country. Excuse me, are you having a bad time today, man? Some of you cats are out of a job, sure. I understand we had a recession. We had one back in 91 and 92. We had one back in 81 and 82. We had one back in the early 70s. Matter of fact, every 10 years we have a recession. Not kind of cyclical. You can't avoid them. Presidents don't cause them, baby. But as far as I know, I ain't seen anybody flying any planes into any buildings lately. Have you? I don't see nobody blowing themselves up in a pizza parlor around here. Yeah, things are going along pretty good considering the trauma that we were all put through about 2.5 years ago. But having said all of that, I realize that George Bush has just made an absolute mess out of everything. It's the most horrific display of a president's initiative that we've ever seen. And oh my God, oh my God. Everybody, the French, the Krauts, you name it, not a one of those critics ever lifted a damn finger to help those people over in that country. You want to know who did? The United States Army, United States Marines, Navy, Air Force, American kids in uniform. Those are the ones that were over there right now helping those kids. Those are the ones that fat ass puts in his movie as soon as they're stuck in a box so he can manipulate that image to show that it's a horrible thing. Those are the ones that fat ass will walk up to one or two of them that's crying and wants to see his mommy again because he's, you know, never cut out to be a soldier in the first place. And through that guy's interview, make the entire United States military look like a joke, like there's no discipline, like there's absolutely not, there's no cohesion whatsoever. And what does fat ass get out of the deal? About $21 million. Now, figuring in the catering expense, he'll take home about $1 million. The catering on that movie alone could go into the millions. And that's why there's a lot of people today who've been admitted to hospitals across this country who worked on the Michael Moore movie from malnutrition. They couldn't get so much as a freaking Krispy Kreme, not even a cup of bad coffee. Fat boy grabbed everything, took it into his trailer, and then they had to buy a new trailer because the suspension on the thing just went quink. But anyway, fat ass is rich today, man. Wouldn't answer a question, wouldn't take on a debate. Told Fox News they're not welcome in line. Told a lot of people he didn't want to talk to them. Didn't want to talk to this one. Didn't want to talk to that one. Because, you want to know why. Because he can't answer their questions. He can't debate what's in his freaking movie. What's in his movie is baloney, baby. It's what comes out of a steer's rear end after grazing on the wide open plains. That's what's in that flick. I'll tell you what's happening, though. What's happening is the Iraqi people have something called sovereignty today. Now, will it last? I don't know. But I guarantee you this much, nobody will lift a bloody finger like they didn't through the last year and a half. They won't do so much as help those people in any way, shape, or form. Not NATO, not the UN, not the UN. Ha ha! Boy, are those guys up to their ass in it. The UN's got that oil for food problem. When they finally pull a scab off of that, the same United Nations everybody was hoping that we would be working with. The same United Nations that have the sovereignty and that we ought to be working with these cats. These guys have been stealing money. They've been stealing food out of the mouths of the Iraqi people. Are you ready for that? Stealing. And guess who their partner was? You know who the guy was that was helping them? Well, it was Saddam Hussein. You know, the guy that we never should have taken out of power? Yeah. Hand in hand with the United Nations, stealing millions, if not billions, from his own people. A thief? A terrorist? A man who the two American administrations, the Clinton and the Bush administration, have said had a working relationship, a collaboration with Osama bin Laden? A torturer? A rapist? I don't give a crap if there weren't any weapons of mass destruction. I could care less. I hope the message is sent loud and clear. You want to know what I hope the message is sent loud and clear. I hope Syria gets it. I hope Iran's got it loud and clear. I hope they all got it. You want to carry your holy war over here? Well, guess what? I mean, the hurt's coming, baby. Or as Al Pacino, my main man, said in Carlito's Way, here comes the pain. Here comes the pain. So today they struggle to establish their democracy in Iraq. You're welcome, Iraq. Oh, and by the way, as a parting gift, Al-Qaeda murdered one of our soldiers. a man with his hands tied and a blindfold around his face, murdered. Why do I say murdered? They put a pistol to the back of his head and they blew his brains out. They didn't even so much as give him an opportunity, a soldier, a uniformed soldier, to defend himself. They can't. Al-Qaeda, they're no good when people are shooting back. They're like any other Nazi. Nazis are good at this. Killing children, killing women and old people, and they all have to be unarmed. The Nazis were the best at killing unarmed civilians. And in the true tradition of the Nazis, Al-Qaeda continues butchering up people with their hands tied behind their backs. Thank you very much, Al-Qaeda. Your day's coming. So an American soldier was murdered, but actually they shot him, and I said to myself, well, there you go. They actually do know how to use those guns, because all I see them doing is standing there with those guns. I'm not even sure they know which end of the freaking gun the bullet comes out of. They know how to use a knife, but they're standing there like badasses with the bandolier across their chest and those guns, and then they butcher up some guy with his hands tied behind his back. At least this time they use the gun. So I do know they know where a trigger is and where the bullet exits. Now, when you guys put that gun back in your pants, make sure you squeeze off a few more rounds. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Eric Hester on tonight to talk about his new reality show called Surprise, and Dr. Jim Sadler on how people have changed since the experience of 9/11. They're not as loose as they used to be. He's loose. He lays around in a thong, a pair of thong, bathing suit, thong underwear, like mowing the lawn and, you know, doing deep knee bends out on his front lawn. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And we have Eric Hester tonight and Dr. Jim Sadler with their twisted, sadistic takes on life. And by the way, remember when I told you about a year and a half ago, I said that Bush, well, I didn't say it a year and a half ago. What am I saying? It's about eight years ago. Henry, don't ever drink anything other than Don Julio. Don't ever do it again, man. Somebody gave me some stuff. You really got to have this. It's Añejo. Yeah, I know what Añejo is, man. Who made it? Oh, just have it. And I'm blind today. I'm blind. I can't see. I'm stark raving blind. Anyway, about 8 months ago, I said President Bush would have a summit with Muammar Gaddafi of Libya, which would be groundbreaking. For the President of the United States to meet with Muammar Gaddafi, a former terror dictator, I mean, basically a terror-sponsoring dictator, who has supposedly changed his ways, today the United States established diplomatic relations with Libya. I'm telling you, I said in August or September, Bush would have a summit with Gaddafi, which is about like turning Saddam Hussein. In other words, if we'd been able to turn Saddam Hussein and make him into a good guy, that would be on the same level. So that's just kind of a cool thing that I said would happen, because there ain't a whole lot that I say will happen happens. Like, I thought I would still have my hair by today and a TV show. None of it. 1-800-449-8686. Mira, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Mira.
Well, I was just calling to let you know that Michael Moore is willing to talk to Bill O'Reilly as long as Bill O'Reilly sits through his movie, and apparently he walked out halfway through. But he's more than willing to go on Fox News and talk to him.
No, that's not really what you do when you debate a point. I mean, he's playing a propaganda game, which he's entitled to do. He's got a movie to sell. But if you want to debate the point, debate the points.
The problem with the Bill O'Reilly show is that you can't.
Well, what are we talking about his show for? Why are we talking about his show? You work for him?
No, because you mentioned earlier that he wouldn't go on Fox News.
Fox News stood in line to talk to him. Not Baldy. I'm talking about Fox News, and he wouldn't talk to him. He wouldn't talk to this show. He wouldn't talk to. There's a million people he doesn't want to talk to because they'll actually debate the war on terror with him, and he's completely ill-equipped.
But you spent just as much time talking about him eating donuts as you have using the airwaves to say something.
Well,
positive.
I'd love to talk to the guy about it, but he won't talk to me, and I've made plenty of points. Just because you're listening tonight doesn't mean I haven't made the points before.
Well, no, I'm hearing what you're saying, but the problem I have
Go ahead. Ask me something about his film. Tell me something about his film, and I'll contradict it for you as best I can.
Well, what I'd actually like to say is that...
Have you seen it?
Our country, yes, I saw it two nights ago.
Okay, well, I'm sure he's very grateful.
There are a lot of really heavy regimes that are doing horrible things to people in countries like Indonesia.
Really?
There is not a big, giant amount of oil for us to take from them, so why isn't our country going and helping them?
Well, Mira, what would you do without oil? What would you do without oil?
I would really love it if the oil would run out.
What would you do without oil when all of the jobs are lost, when the recession starts, when the $10 to $15...
You know, it's going to run out
sometime. Mira, what are you going to do?
I am going to thank God when it runs out.
No, come on. Forget about that. What are you
going
to do when this country grinds to a halt with no oil? Come on, tell me.
Change will have to happen when the oil runs out. It's either going to happen sooner or later.
And you're the kind of person that would probably leave the country and go someplace where there's oil.
We'll probably ruin the ecosystem by trying to take all the oil. And instead of focusing on that, we should use the
1971 you sound? I mean, it's like, God, haven't you gotten out of that Vietnam-era mentality yet?
It will run out, though. And
no
We need to use the technology we have.
Yeah, but you know what?
Alternative energy.
Then, we need it. And until
we don't.
Yes, we
do. Need it at the cost of our men and women getting beheaded.
Mara, you don't care about those people. You don't care about our men
about
and women.
Those
you
people.
Don't want George Bush's press. You don't care about them.
I care very much.
No,
about
you don't.
Them.
Those, if you did, then you would honor their mission because they do. They believe in their mission.
Of course, they believe in their mission. They've been lied to.
Right, and you're smarter than them.
I don't think I'm smarter than them. I'm just lucky enough to have the kind of education that they haven't had.
Well, Mira, an education doesn't guarantee you anything. It just means mommy and daddy parked you somewhere for 4 years.
Actually, I paid my way through college, but the point is that...
I would expect you to say that.
Look, did you see Michael Moore's movie?
Yes, I did, ma'am. And I saw
Isn't
Wag
it true
the Dog.
That,
I saw Wag the Dog.
Don't you understand that they're going into the poorest cities in our country?
Oh, my God.
Where the corporations have basically ruined the local economy and taking these poor people and convincing and paying attention to them in ways they've
never
been.
You know, you sound so white. I can't believe you just sound like such a white person. You know how long and hard African Americans fought to be a part of the armed forces? And you know there was Michael Moore who made a joke. He thought it was funny at the time. Of course, he's never been funny, that if there were some brothers on that plane, they would have kicked the ass of those terrorists. But now he's saying we have too many black people. But then again, black people fight better than white people. But then again, let's not have all those black folks, because even though they did fight for centuries to be a part of our armed forces, Michael Moore, fat ass, thinks we've got too many of them in the armed forces. He didn't make any points. He made stale points that have been made and debunked over and over again. This guy is like every bad movie I've ever seen.
If so many people really are standing in line to see this movie and to hear things that we haven't heard in our media, why is that a problem?
What am I hearing in Michael Moore's movie that I haven't heard in the media? Are you kidding? You got to be kidding with that statement.
I have hardly heard any of it in the media.
Try reading the freaking paper.
The media is
It's everywhere, man. It was in the New York Times. In fact, Michael Moore got a laugh, and he didn't mean to get the laugh. When David Letterman asked him, where did you do your research? He said, the New York Times. The audience thought they were going to pee when they heard that. And Moore's looking at the crowd like, what are you laughing at?
Why didn't the media show that scene when George Bush was driven in the limo to the White House? And people were throwing eggs at it, and he couldn't even get out on his first day.
Are you trying to tell me that we don't know that George Bush is hated? Is that what you're trying to say?
I just don't understand why the media portrays things that aren't the representation of what people feel. I mean,
well, ma'am, if you read the New York Times, read the New York Times or the L.A. Times, they'll portray it exactly the way you want, because every day they're saying the things that you're saying right now.
If Americans were
move
told,
out of Chattanooga, Americans know, ma'am, and they're not buying it. That's the thing that's frustrating you. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I remember during the... I'm sorry that I keep going back to Vietnam, but it's like it's deja vu, as Yogi Berra said, all over again. I'm telling you, nothing's changed.
Why are poor people going off to fight a rich man's war?
Now let's analyze that, shall we? Shall we? Does anybody ever stop to think when someone says, oh, this war is over oil, what that means exactly? I mean, I hear people, it's as if people who are college educated suddenly turn into children. Their reasoning turns into the reasons of a child when you say to them, look, what are the practical applications of this, of your solution? How is this country going to survive without a steady flow of oil until such time as we do develop alternative forms of energy, which both Republicans and Democrats, Green Party, you name it, everybody's been dragging their feet on. Nobody seems to get a consensus together on this. Until such time, how does a country survive without reverting to an agrarian economy and basically giving up its place in society, man? I mean, we'd be like a Stone Age country again and ripe for anybody to come in and do with us as they wish, okay? Well, I don't think oil's worth it. Wait a minute, that's fine, but please tell me, what are we to do without oil right now? Well, I think the sooner that day arrives, well, of course they don't really mean that because they haven't thought about it. If that day arrives, first of all, the recession that would follow, the depression that would follow, the people out of jobs, the inability to transport yourself because we have a very small supply of oil, meaning that we would have to, what oil we did have, the price in it would go through the roof. You wouldn't be able to afford it. And if you could, you know, a great deal of your income would be going into the purchase of it. People would be thrown out of jobs. Certain industries would come to a grinding halt. We would have an economic depression, folks. You know what that is? That's 20% unemployment. That's not living on a commune in New Mexico. That's not spreading the grain like an easy rider and going, I think we can bring the crops in this spring. You know, let's go smoke another joint. That's a real problem. What are we? But all of a sudden, every time I talk to one of my fine friends who's against the war in Iraq and the whole idea of oil, an oil war, when I get to this point in the argument with them, that's when they just turn into kids.
Well, I'll walk to work, and then another thing I'll do, I'll grow daffodils. What I'm talking to my daughter now. Hey, I got a great idea. How about a lemonade stand? Yeah, we'll sell lemonade to the people that drive by.
Are you goofy or something? Now, come on, let's get serious. What are you going to do? Then it turns to this. Well, then we never shoulda. Yeah, you're right. We never shoulda. Okay, I tell you what, man, you're right. We never shoulda. Well, that's where we are now, then. Right, we are there now. So what do we do? Well, we never shoulda. They can't go forward, man. They can't move forward. This is the future we're talking about now. We're not talking about the past any longer. Mistakes we've made. Mistakes, I've made a few. But then again, not too many. How does it go? I did it my way. Janice is looking at me like, wait a minute, you're not trying to sing that song, are you? And all of you people in uniform, don't you just admire college-educated people who will call in and say, you know, I have enough education to know that you're an idiot. You were lied to. Oh, she's got the education because she, you know, she's not lied to. But you're just a dumb darky from the ghetto who got lied to. I mean, that if that isn't a white person, man, I've been around white people my whole life. And it's the funny thing about white people is they think that they can fool other white people. Now, maybe they can lay a line of crap on some black guy and get away with it. But you think I'm going to listen to that crap and believe it? Come on. I've listened to enough racial jokes. When a whole bunch of whiteys get together, when the black guy leaves the room, they start in with the N-word and they start in with the racial jokes. Happens all the time. And this attitude that, you know, somehow black people are poor, stupid, little nappy-headed children who don't know what they're doing, and they join the military because they're fools. Well, they join the military for a lot of reasons, the same way a lot of other people join the military. Some may want an education. Some may want to get the training. Some may want to fight for their country. Ever thought about that? Some may want to go out and kick some ass. You know, it was Bill Clinton that gave a posthumous Congressional Medal of Honor to Reuben Rivers of the black tank battalion that George Patton called the best he'd ever seen. They were black tankers. Do you know how hard they had to fight to get to that level of proficiency and to become that respected, just like the Tuskegee Airmen? They wouldn't let them over in Europe to fight.
They didn't think black guys could drive tanks good, so they left them back here. Well, guess what those black guys did while they're back here? They trained in those tanks. They kept training day in and day out, day in and day out. When they finally got over to Europe, they were the best freaking tankmen that George Bleeding Patton ever saw. They fought hard to get to that place in the military. The United States military was the first fully integrated institution in this country. And they went over and they kicked a little ass. I thought that's what Michael Moore said when he said all those, if there had been more black guys in the plane, they would have kicked some ass on those terrorists. Isn't that what he said? Now he's saying we got too many of them in the military. And the ones that are in there are stupid. And they're lied to. Because the big corporations go into the... There are no big corporations in the ghetto. There are liquor stores. And every company is out to make one thing, money, including the ones that we all work for. Whether it's the company you work for or the one that I work for. Every corporation somehow is sticking it to somebody someplace. Believe you me. It's called making a dollar. You'll be interested in this. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Here it is. Al-Qaeda has also forged alliances with the National Islamic Front in the Sudan and with the government of Iran and its associated terrorist group, Hezbollah, for the purpose of working together against their perceived common enemies in the West, particularly in the United States. In addition, Al-Qaeda reached an understanding with the government of Iraq that Al-Qaeda would not work against that government and that on particular projects, specifically including weapons development, Al-Qaeda would work cooperatively with the government of Iraq. Who said that? The United States Justice Department. What was the year? 1998. And what is it? An indictment of Osama bin Laden for murder. And yet you still want me to sit here and take fat ass and all of his Vietnam-era blubbering and blathering about big corporations and big brother. You know who's lying to you? If you want to say it's the media, go ahead, say it's the media. That ain't the government. That's the media. And these days, most of the lying that they're doing is on the side of fat ass. What the hell are you talking about? Fat ass can't debate his movie because he's got nothing to back it up with. He won't debate his movie because he'll be made to look foolish. And even the small forays that he's made into doing interviews, he's been made to look like a jackass in about a half of them. So fat ass, just enjoy all the money. And try to get out of line in time for the rest of the crew to eat next time you guys call for lunch. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up tonight, Eric Hester and his new reality show called Surprise. And this is a reality show that is going to take reality TV to new erudite heights, new serious explorations of the frailty of humanity. And wait till you hear what his new show is about. Dr. Jim Sadler will be on how people have changed since the experience of 9/11. He went out and became a bodybuilder and now does his gardening in a thong bathing suit because he's free, you know. He spent a lot of time on the beaches in France, and he oils up, and he just feels like he's giving the old ladies across the street a break. That's all coming up tonight on our show. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a copy of our Best Of CD for the year 2003, it is available. It's called The Death of Talk Radio, and by God, if that hasn't been the truth... And all you got to do is go to our website at www.philhenryshow.com, pick up The Death of Talk Radio. It's a 2-CD set. It's only $20. All the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California. Or you can call 877-616-7445 and order it on the phone thing. You know, I'm not the kind of guy that... I never thought I was the kind of guy that holds a grudge. But just as soon as I said credit card, it reminded me of something. But I do hold grudges. I do. I don't think that I should, I suppose. I don't know. You know, I've actually never thought about it because I don't, it's not eating me up. But I remember everybody in my life that made life a little bit tougher than it should have been. I remember everyone that tried to hold me back. I just do. It's just, I'm not a guy that people should take lightly, I suppose, because I remember every last one of these slobs. There's a guy who programs a radio station in this city. He's the program director of the station right now. When I first met him, he was a punk-faced little intern, and he stole one of my bits. He stole some, it was a little bit of tape that I used on my show, and he gave it over to Limbaugh. And when I confronted him about it, he thought it was funny. He laughed. And ever since then, I've never forgotten that guy. So as a result, I'll never work for this guy. I'll never talk to the guy. I mean, and I'll do anything that I can to screw him up when I can. I'm just going to get him back somehow, right? I mean, it's probably wrong, but I mean, it's just the way I am. For instance, the other night, well, I'll tell you, just to go back a little bit, Maria and I are in this bar, the brand spanking new bar out in Agoura that everybody just loves. It's a night spot. It's got dancing and drinking and food and this and that. So we went out there a couple of times. The first time, the waitress gave me back the wrong credit card. Somebody else got my credit card. And, of course, they had charges run up on it. And I had to go and I had to cancel my card. So on and so forth. Okay, that I didn't like that. But I figured, what the hell? You know, they're worth another shot. Because my wife wanted to go back there. She liked the music. Go back a second time. And I never did get a drink. I even tipped this waitress like $5. Hey, don't forget us, you know. So, no. I mean, it was a half an hour, man. I finally went over there, and I actually made a big scene at the maitre d' stand. I said, hey, look, you know what, dude? This place is going to be a freaking haunted house. You think you got a good thing going here? You think all the young singles in the area are coming here, man, and dancing and eating and crapping? Good for you, dude. You keep up with service like that, somebody else is going to open up another joint. This joint is going to be a haunted freaking house, I guarantee. I'll never go back there. Now, is that petty of me? No, that's me. But I will never go back to that restaurant again. And if anybody ever asks me, I won't mention their name on the air.
The initials are MBB.
But I will never go back there again. Now, it happened to me again on Saturday night. I went up to some joint in Ventura. Now, Ventura is starting a renaissance. They've got their downtown is very nice. There's some nice restaurants up there. And another couple we know, they said, you want to go up there and have dinner? I said, yeah, okay. So we went up to this restaurant in Ventura. Guess what they did to me? They gave me back the wrong credit card. The other guy has my credit card. That guy was too stupid to see if it was his card or not, so he's got it out there. And, you know, as soon as I got home, there's another couple of $100 run up on it, on top of the dinner that I bought. And I got to cancel another damn credit card because of some stupid waitress. And you know what? I don't give a crap if they work really hard, man, and they really depend on the tips and this and that. I tip great. I tip 20, 25% sometimes. I mean, I'm Mr. Tip. Honest to God, because I know I like good service. And by God, I don't want to sit there beg for a freaking drink. Just lay the tip on her, and she's going to take care of you. You hope, you think, okay? And don't tell me the cocktail jockeys don't make some nice change, man, in some of those better places with tips. They make a nice piece of change. So don't give me this crap about how they got such a tough life. In any event, she's going so fast. She's doing so many tables, this and that, and this and that. I get it. Hey, keep the freaking credit card straight. Do you mind? Do you realize that I got to cancel out another card? I'm on the phone with damn Visa on Sunday morning. And can you tell me your social security number? Yes, I can. Now, do you have your corporation ID number? Because it's a business card. No, I do not. Oh, well, do you also have the name of your dog? Your pet cat? Is your mother still alive? And what are the sizes approximate of her bowel movements? Now, after we get through that, I'd also like to know. On and on and freaking on, okay? Why? 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 Because Sadie here, the waitress, she can't stop down long enough. And she said, now you wait right here and I'll go get your card. When I found out that I didn't have it, I said, okay, I'm standing there at the bar for like 5-6 minutes. What am I waiting for you for? Come over to my table and give it to me. The waitress that served this dinner, I tipped her great. It was like a $200 tab. So that's about, you know, $3-4. No, actually, on a $200 tab, you should tip $5. It was $200 for the two couples, which is getting away pretty good, and we tipped her $45. Okay? Anyway, now along comes the cocktail jockey, and, oh, I don't have your card, sir, and here it is. No, it's not. That wouldn't have been so bad if the next day I call back to this dump that I'm not going to go back into again. And its initials are, I'm kidding, I won't do that. Do you want me to tell you? CF. Now, it's in Ventura, right off the freeway. All right, so dig this. The next day, I got on the phone. My wife says, well, call a cafe to make sure that maybe they got the card. Maybe the guy brought it back. I said, good point. So I call up. Hi, can I speak with a manager?
Okay, is there a problem?
No. I mean, my card was left last night. Well, a waitress mistakenly gave my card to another customer. I'm hoping that maybe he brought it back. Could I speak with your manager?
Okay.
You know.
Hello?
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Mary.
Oh, okay, Mary. My name is Phil Hendry, and I was in your restaurant last night. And by the way, I don't give my name because I think people are going to recognize me. I give my name, as my father always said, give your freaking name. Who are you? It ain't Phil. It's your full name. So they know who the hell they're talking to, right? So anyway, I was in your restaurant last night, and I wondered if perhaps, and the waitress mistakenly gave my card to another patron, I wondered if perhaps he brought it back in. Now, there's no recognition from this manager that I've been put through a little bit of an inconvenience. A manager, first rule of thumb, you young upcoming managers out there, act like one. Don't act like you just caught off a bus and tables. Act like you're the manager, representative of the restaurant, right? Hold on.
Beautiful downtown Ventura is exciting for all families.
Mr. Hendry?
Yes.
Hold on.
You know, all this crap. Comes back on. She goes, nope. It's not there? Nope. I said, okay, well, as a result of this misplaced card, I'm never going to come back into your toilet again. My name is Phil Hendry, and you have my number, so I'm not, you know, you can, you know, if you got a problem with me or whatever, but I'm not coming back into your toilet bowl restaurant ever again as long as I set foot, a breathing foot, on this earth. Thank you. So I ain't going back there, man. Now, is that petty of me? Maybe. Am I ever going to change? No. There are restaurants I will not eat in. Ever again, man. All they got to do is piss me off once. Because you know what? There's a million of them out there, Jim. What am I going to do? Give you another shot because I just love your freaking chopped Italian salad? Forget it. Just kidding. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Reality television is, well, it's what TV is today. It's really what networks are looking for in terms of a show they can put on the air for as little cost as possible and make as much money as they can, because the production cost on reality TV shows is very, very minimal. Eric Hester is a television producer with a new reality TV show that he is hoping will be on the air this fall. And Mr. Hester, thanks for joining us.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Phil.
And tell me about this show called Surprise, because the way you're promoting this, you're throwing out the rule book on reality television. You're going to take it someplace it's never gone before.
Well, we hope to, yes. The show is called Surprise, and this show is really like no other show in history. Most reality television is very shallow and very cookie-cutter. My partner, Cal Coltrane, and I decided that what we wanted was a reality TV show that would go somewhere deeper than just the usual fare that we see, which is a bit more like a freak show, really, bug eating and marriages between dwarves and this sort of thing. And with Surprise, we think we've done that.
Now, this show is airing this fall on NBC?
We're shooting for that, yes.
Well, I know that what you mean about the cookie-cutter thing, that the way things look on TV, especially reality shows.
But we believe in reality TV. Please please don't get me wrong. We just think it can be much more. Surprise gathers together siblings, and that is brothers and sisters from any given family, and we want the kids to generally be anywhere from the age of 8 to 10 years of age. And we gather the kids in a variety of settings. It could be their home, it can be at school, it can be at a fast food restaurant. Now the kids are together, and we have an actor dressed as a police officer, or in some cases a minister, or in some cases a man in a suit or a doctor's smock. And this person sits down with the kids. And here's where I think reality television can really be something special and do a service, as opposed to having people conduct themselves in this freak show manner, picking the Bachelorette, this kind of thing. We think we're better than that. And we're better as people than that, I think. What we do is we have that person sit down with the kids and tell them, kids, I am very sorry to have to tell you, but your mother and father have just been killed in a car crash. Now, what we do is we pull the camera in close, right up into the faces of these children who, for the very first time in their lives, are experiencing death. Now, that is reality TV. I don't even call it reality TV. I call it truth TV, and I call it life TV.
And are the kids' parents really dead?
No. The parents are alive and well and are watching from a remote van. And then at some point, of course, we do tell the kids, you know what, we were just joking around, but maybe now you'll appreciate your parents a little bit more. And as far as our host goes, we're hoping to get Drew Carey, or we would agree to somebody who's a very funny man. Drew Carey is good. Ray Romano. Who can tell the kids that their parents are dead, because it will soften it a little bit, because we're concerned about how the kids will react, and he might have a joke, and then when the parents show themselves, we would have a little bit of a song, things like this. These people are funny, the Jay Lenos and so on, and if we can get them...
All right, hold on. You have them break the news, and then the children react, and at some point... You tell them that you're kidding.
And then we say, we're only kidding. Your parents are not dead. Now, here they are, and now the moral is, of course, appreciate your parents. See, looking at reality shows, you get embarrassed by how low they stoop, how low they can go. And we're trying to elevate the reality genre.
What do you consider the worst of the reality shows?
I think they're all of them. The Littlest Bachelor was exploitation. I think Fear Factor is not reality TV. No, nobody eats bugs or jumps from a moving truck. That's not reality television. I talked with the head of NBC's entertainment division, a guy by the name of Mo Zucker, and I told him we need to take it to another level. Surprise will show 8 to 10-year-old children who have just been told their parents are dead. Now, this, Phil, is a moment in time that we capture, and then we go through the grieving with them.
What if the kids become panicked? What if they become upset?
We have cell phones on the set, we can call 911 if needed. The cameras have an opportunity to catch that, though. In fact, the pilot that we shot and have shown two networks that are probably going to be bidding for it, one of the children becomes physically sick. She vomits. And we debated, should we cut that out? And my partner, who's one of the smartest TV guys, Kyle Coltrane, said, no, it's reality, and that is reality television.
Okay, Eric Hester joins me. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The new show is called Surprise, where children are told that their parents have been killed in an automobile accident, and then they... get the close-ups on them, and he's hoping to get a host like Ray Romano or something. Why get a comic to deliver news like this?
Because, again, the audience will be in on it. It softens it for the audience, and I think that maybe the kids will take the news better if they're hearing. If I was small and I had a wonderful entertainer such as Whoopi Goldberg or someone like that say to me that your parents have been killed in an automobile accident, I might be able to deal with it better if I was hearing it.
If you were hearing it from Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, not necessarily, but again, we're trying to get the camera in tight on these situations.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number. I don't know how many of you guys watch reality television. I do agree with you that it's pretty much worked all of the angles, and when you say, you made a very interesting point, eating bugs and jumping off of moving vans is not reality because few of us actually do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And why, and how many of us have the opportunity to be wined and dined by a handsome bachelor or a beautiful bachelorette? No, this is reality, Phil. This is the reality of a child being told that their parents... Mommy and Daddy are not going to come back. And then getting that reaction. I don't think there's anything more primal in life, Phil, than the separation of a child from a parent. I don't know if you saw the film E.T. I think E.T. dealt with it very beautifully, the separation from the home planet by the creature. And, of course, there was the wonderful artificial intelligence that Steven Spielberg, again, you're dealing with the separation of a robot boy from his flesh and blood mother. What we want to do is elevate the genre and make reality television something we can all be very proud of. And, again, I think it's going to be a great thing.
All right, now, I got to ask you here. Children, even though you tell the kids you're only kidding, to hear that mommy and daddy have been killed in an automobile accident, at what point do you tell the kids that this is just a joke?
Well, we go through the entire grieving. We make burial arrangements, and
you're going through days.
Well, it's a couple-of-day process where you go through the entire process of mommy and daddy have to be buried, this kind of thing. But then eventually, just as... I want you to understand that this is intended as a way to really make the child understand that it's all been in fun, okay? Because we have a viewing where the people are laying in their caskets, and then they sit up, and they say, Mommy's not dead, Daddy's not dead.
And how do the kids take it?
Well, I told one of the kids vomited, but the other kids, I think, were relatively all right with it. Again, where do we go for reality, Phil?
So these are 8 to 10-year-old children who are told their parents are dead. Then you go through the burial arrangements. Then they go in for the viewing of the bodies, and they sit up in the casket and say, almost like, hey, you're on candid camera?
No, it's not known. It's not candid camera. It is a surprise. And then Ray Romano or Drew Carey or whoever we hire comes in and we do a song. And this is a way, I think, of showing both the horror and the relief, the release from horror. I mean, my partner Kyle put it in a way, have you ever had to really just go, to the bathroom? There's the horror of not being able to, and then there's the release. It's the same thing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Marcy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi,
yes,
I'm calling. I'm calling from San Diego to tell you that I think that this is an appalling idea. If your guest would have been working in the school system during 9/11 and seen the horror in these children's faces at the sight of death, the hearing of what happened. My son was a friend of the girl whose father was killed in Iraq. He was a civil contractor. He came home petrified because my husband travels for a living.
Right.
This
but there's,
is not
there's
funny.
There's one point that you're leaving out, Marcy, that we include in our program. What if you were able to come to those children a half hour later and say, you know what, we're just kidding?
I don't think that would have been funny at all.
Well, you don't think.
And
but you
I don't
know.
Think
you don't
that
think.
Death... Death is nothing to joke about.
Well, of course it is. We're all going to die. It's a part of life. It is the
it
process.
It is a part of life, but there's no need to traumatize these children this young at age. You should prepare them
don't you think,
in a way
yeah, don't
that
you
they can accept it, not go, oh, only kidding.
Do you think that there is a risk of trauma here, Mr. Hester? Or is there, like you say, if the telling the kids that they're only kidding?
Look, what we're looking to do, Phil, and what I'm trying to tell your listeners, reality television, the kind that this lady or other people may watch, is a joke. It's not reality at all. We need reality.
I agree with you. Reality television is a joke. It is not
entertaining.
This is
going to be great.
And neither is your show going to be entertaining. And anyone with any sense will not watch your show.
Well, ma'am, you haven't seen it. I think you're judging it based upon... Children were traumatized by Bozo the Clown. Were you aware of that? Whatever we're doing on Surprise is only giving the child reality.
All right. Thank you very much, Marcy, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Eric Hester is my guest. The producer of a new reality show that he hopes will be airing this fall on NBC called Surprise, where kids are sat down and told their parents have been killed in an automobile accident, and then a half hour later their parents sit up in the casket and say surprise. Now, you know, even if the kids were just told, well, you know, we're just kidding, your folks are not dead, that's one thing, but to have them sit up in the coffin, and he said one of the kids threw up. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Whenever you think of someone with hair, think of me, Bob Green.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Eric Hester, the producer of a new reality show called Surprise. The show is based around young children of 8 to 10 years of age being told that their parents have just died in an automobile accident or some other kind of mishap, I imagine, only to be told later on that they're only joking. But you want to get that look of reality. You want to get that look of fear.
Oh, absolutely, Phil. The look of reality, not the look of fear necessarily, but the real sensation of death. And the lady made a very good point. Death is nothing to joke about. But maybe it's time we tried to at least have a little bit of fun with it. Because I'll tell you a story, and the reason why I did this show...
All right, well, I want to get to some calls.
Okay, that's fine, but you'll be interested. I was in the 101st Airborne, Phil, when I was in the Army. I was at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And we did a jump one day. My very best friend was leaning against a tree. My best friend in the world, leaning against a tree after we'd done a jump. And they were parachuting in after the airborne troops had dropped. Then they would drop in the supplies in crates on parachutes.
On parachutes?
Yes. And my best friend in the world, a guy by the name of Howard Duggan, was leaning against a tree, lighting a cigarette, when one of those crates dropped out of the sky, hit him smack on the head, and killed him. And I remember I laughed until I almost got sick. I thought it was that funny.
Oh, my God.
But imagine that. You're a paratrooper, and you're killed by a crate of MRIs falling out of the sky. So I remember thinking, well, that is, how can I bring that sense of humor to the...
But do you look back on the death of your best friend as a humorous thing?
Well, I'm sorry that he's gone, but it was so funny to see the way he died. It's, how can I bring that joyous, because it was joyous, I suppose, to see him get hit by this crate. It wasn't funny, but it left me with a smile on my face, and so I've decided...
It left you with a smile on your face to see your best friend get hit by a parachuted crate of stuff.
Yes, not because I lost my friend, but it when I think back on the death of Howard, I got to tell you, I got to pull over because I start laughing. So how do I bring that to the TV? And that's where we came up with Surprise.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dottie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Eric Hester. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a retired teacher, and as far as I'm concerned, this is mental child abuse. If you want to do something with adults, but if I did that as a teacher, I'd be arrested and thrown in the can. And if somebody doesn't do that to you, you're sick.
Well, I don't know where to begin with you because you don't make very educated statements for a teacher. Number one.
I beg your pardon. Doesn't make very good statements either.
Well, you had to have been there. If you were there, I guarantee Dottie you would have made your depends a little smelly.
Let's watch out with...
Who are these parents that are allowing this to happen? You couldn't do it in the classroom.
First of all, if you were able to do this in the classroom, Dottie, you sound like the kind of person who might enjoy it. Secondly,
well, what are you doing now? You know something?
Is this
children
a surprise?
Are very tough individuals.
Is
they
this
scrape their
be a surprise
They
to
heal.
Me?
They hear their probably everything in life is a surprise to you, Dottie. Children hear their
well,
parents.
This has gotta
they
be
heal,
a joke.
Especially
the
after their parents
funny.
Rush out after give them a great big hug, and we surprise their family and everything like that.
Yeah, and then you're going to have kids that won't leave their mother and father's side for years.
Well, Dottie,
check with a school psychiatrist.
No, what I ought to do is check with
Sorry, buddy, you're on the wrong plane.
Check with your kids. They probably couldn't wait to get out of that.
All right, there goes Dottie. Here is Rachel. Rachel, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine.
I'm a little in shock, actually, about that last call with Dottie, so I hope I get a little respect to say a few words.
Wait a second. That lady was nothing but disrespectful to me, so she got as good as she gave.
Okay, let me just give my opinion, and then you can give your feedback if you'd like. I actually turned this on, and I'm in the car with my 11-year-old right now. And
oh, great.
I personally am completely appalled and truly do believe that you... Okay, so I'm completely appalled, and I asked my son's opinion as an 11-year-old,
yes.
And he said that not only, and he's a very well-spoken, articulate boy,
I'm sure.
And he said not only would he not appreciate me more, but he would feel resentful towards me because he felt he wouldn't be able to trust me at that point. And I have to agree with the last caller that the psychological damage that you could possibly put upon these kids is immense, and honestly, the fact that parents would allow their children to experience something like this, I do believe that somebody in CPS or social work needs to get involved. And I'm sorry that you experienced such traumatic things in your life that you think it's funny to see your friend
die. Well, let me address one of these things, Rachel. First of all, your son said something to you, and we all know that children lie. Your son is going to tell you what he wants you to, you know, what you want to hear.
Do you have children?
I did.
You did?
I did, yes.
Meaning?
Well, if you'd like to hear the story, I can tell you.
Well, I don't need to hear a far-out thing,
wife,
but since...
My wife got custody of them.
Okay, so your children are still alive.
Yes, most certainly.
But you don't have custody of them, and maybe there's a particular reason for that.
Well, first of all, children lie, like your son just did to you, about, oh, Mommy, I'd really, you know, blah, blah, blah. Of course he doesn't mean that. Of course he'd appreciate you more. Do you like television? I bet you do. And I can guarantee you and
actually,
your son and daughter...
Actually, I can't stand reality TV. I think it's obnoxious, and I think the only reason you're doing it is to try and earn a dollar, and I'm really sorry that you've lost your kids. You don't have an opportunity to see how wonderful it is to raise them, that you think that this would be okay for children, and it's clear that you have no right to parent a child.
Well, Rachel, that's quite a statement. I'd like to send you and your son two hats from Surprise... and two T-shirts, so that you guys would come on our program.
I would never submit my son to that, because I actually heard about him. It's unfortunate that these parents have no...
It's interesting that you don't like the show, because we've got a lot of interest from PBS. And
you've got a lot of sick people.
Well,
you have a lot of sick people.
NPR is going to have me on. And
well, what does that mean, NPR and PBS?
Obviously,
everyone wants to hear what you have to say, but that doesn't mean that they agree. You're controversial. That's why they want to hear it. It doesn't mean they agree with it.
NPR only puts on educated programming that is going to educate people. And, Rachel, you get to sit in our air-conditioned van. You can watch your son show his love to you by Sell My God, My Mother's Dead.
And watch him throw up on himself? Like that one kid did?
Why on earth would I want to see that? I want to see my son experience joy. I don't need to see my son experience terror.
Well, you don't get to see that until he moves out. But I can do...
All right. Rachel, thank you for your call. 1-800-449... What is that supposed to mean? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Eric Hester with the show Surprise. He tells kids their parents are dead. Then he says he's kidding.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
We're talking with Eric Hester. The new reality show that he's producing is called Surprise, where children are told their parents are dead in an automobile accident, only to be told later on that they were just kidding. Now, you heard mothers in that first half hour talking about how it was child abuse, how it was abusive to these kids, how it was something that should be actionable in a court of law, Mr. Hester, and yet you call this entertainment based upon the death of a friend of yours being hit in the head with a crate in a paratrooping exercise. He was an adult. These are kids.
Well, that's a very good point, Phil, but let me also point out something, that most of those women and most of the women that might call me, or most of American women that might call me and say, well, we don't think this is right. You should be off the air because your program is very cruel. All of those women are the very same women that will subject their children to these anti-abortion marches, and will put their children through these prayer meetings and these kinds of things. No, this is the kind of thing...
Well, that's the politics of the mother.
That's abuse. Absolute abuse.
How do you figure that's abuse?
Well, you're taking a young child, and you are manipulating that child for your own political purposes. And those are the very same women that would take their child out on one of these pro-life marches, okay, and then say, oh, but you can't do this to my child. Look, the parents, those are the very women that I'd love to have in this program, because those women, I think, once they get past their initial politically correct reaction, I think are sadistic enough perhaps to even enjoy it. And so
you do agree, then, that parents who will let their kids on these programs are sadists?
I know. The parents that we deal with are great.
But you did say sadistic enough to enjoy it.
Those women who would take exception, who can't admit to themselves that this is something that's no worse and probably nowhere near as bad as them taking their children on these marches, you know, for against breast cancer or something, which is political manipulation of their children.
All right, 1-800-449. I understand you have a piece of music from the show.
We do, Phil. We have the opening to the program.
All right, I'll hear that in a minute here. 1-800-449-8686. Jonna, hello, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Eric Hester.
Yes, I wanted to make a point. My children, 13 years ago, did lose their father. They went through this reality TV show, only it wasn't a TV show. It was real life. And I can tell you that the horror that I saw come across their faces as they received the news and then had to go through the viewing and all the things that you said were going to go on in your show.
Right.
And then at the end not have their father sit up in the casket and say, surprise.
Well, that's why they're upset.
No, that
that's
is
why
not.
Upset. If
no,
the father
that
would
is
have
not why
up.
They're upset, sir. I'll tell you what. That is
if
a trauma that
up,
will never
fine.
Leave them. This happened 13 years ago to those children,
yes.
And it will never leave them. And it was not to be relieved by somebody sitting up in the casket saying surprise.
Well, I'll tell you, I wish I would have had a camera there that day.
Eric. You are
what is
sick
that?
With
no,
it, and the parents that allow their children to go through that show are worse than you.
Jonna, let me
How
propose
dare
this.
You do
let,
that
me,
to
let,
those
me, let me propose this to you. You say 13 years these young people have had to live with the death of their father, and I understand that, but would they be feeling bad today had he popped up in the coffin and said, hey, let's go get some shots and beers?
They would have felt worse.
They feel bad today?
It would have been a lie. And how dare a parent put their child through that? That is the worst thing a child can go through.
I want
to
be clear.
To lose a parent.
I want
to
be clear.
And then make a joke of it?
No, I want to be clear. You're saying there would have been no relief for those kids had their father popped up and said, surprise, let's go to Disneyland. Let's get ice cream.
Oh, my God.
You're telling me there wouldn't have been any relief?
Look, I know what the lady's saying.
I called earlier who said that they would never be able to trust their parent again. And the other woman who said that those children would never leave their parents' side for years. That's a trauma those children would never get over.
I'm here to
tell you that that is not a pleasant trauma to watch. It's not entertainment.
No, it's not.
Horror.
It's not.
It's pure horror.
But the
and for
fun
you
that
to
you
capitalize
have,
on it,
the fun you have when
abominable.
You tell them that you're joking. Yeah, but the fun you have when you tell them you're joking. That's what I'm trying to tell
that
you.
That is not
and your
fun.
Kids didn't go through that.
That is not fun.
Well, look,
no aspect about that whole thing is fun. And
right.
You are sick. And shame on you for exploiting children in that manner.
You don't have any footage of that, do you? Was anybody rolling?
Oh, come on! Are you kidding? Are you kidding with this lady?
I'm simply asking if they had a video camera running that.
No, they didn't have a video camera. I don't even have to have her answer for you.
Well, I'd like to send that lady a surprise game version and six packs of tickets. Oh, she hung up.
Yeah. Sounds to me like this show is not going to happen, man.
No. I got great interest from Mo Zucker and Gus Berman and all of them.
I don't know who those cats are, man. I know a Gail Berman and a Jeff Zucker.
No, that wouldn't be them. One of them looks like a dude, anyway.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Wally. Wally, go ahead.
Okay, in my opinion, if that show airs, anybody involved in the production of it should be arrested for child abuse and the parents arrested for child endangerment.
No, we've already checked it out with the police.
Now,
you don't know what you're talking about.
Now it's... Hey, I know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
I was 20 years old, married, in the Marine Corps, when they called me on a morning and told me my father had been killed. You don't know what it felt like then.
And
let me tell you, I never laughed at anybody in the service that got killed with me. Let me tell you that.
You should have seen the way this guy bought it, though. a crate that was parachuted down on top of his head.
No way it's funny, buddy. No way it's funny.
Come on, pal.
I've watched aircraft fall out of the sky and everything else, and nothing is funny.
Mr. Hester,
death is funny.
Let me ask Mr. Hester, this is Phil Henry. You know, you're hearing the reactions of people, maybe to adults, but to little kids?
Well, Phil, what we're trying to do is show people death isn't all that big of a deal.
It sure as hell is. It's final, bud.
Well, of course
it is. It's the big number 8.
That's
right. It don't ever end.
Oh, I just...
All right, hold on for a minute. I got another gentleman on the line. Can you hang on, Wally?
Yeah.
All right, and who is this, Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Lloyd. You're on with Eric Hester.
Yes, sir. I'm a United States Naval veteran from the Korean conflict, and I'm listening to this man talking
about... You got it. You got it, bud.
Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
Wally.
Yes, sir. Wally, I'm Lloyd. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. I want to say to the gentleman, is the host there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here. You're talking to Mr. Hester.
Hi, Lloyd. This is Eric Hester.
Okay, let me tell you something. I watched a lot of guys get it at the Chosin Reservoir. And when you talk about these guys, you know what I'd like to do to you? I'd like to come down there and tear your head off and relieve myself.
Are you all right, sir?
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, I gotta go, Phil. That man's crazy.
Hey, Wally. Wally. All Marines are queer.
Hello?
I think he hung up, Phil. I think you lost your car. Let tell you what. Let's lighten it up a little bit.
Let's lighten it up a little bit. How are you gonna do that?
Well, I want to play for you the opening segment from our show. And I think you're going to enjoy it, Phil. I really do. To show you the comedic intent that we have for Surprise.
All right. Now, this show is about kids that are being told that their parents died only to find out later you're kidding.
Right. And I'll have to do the voice of the announcer because we don't have... we're hoping to get Stuttering John because he's so wonderful on The Tonight Show. But here it is. Surprise! NBC Television presents Surprise! Today, the Garson kids are going to find out that their mother and father were fed horribly into a farming combine. Then a half hour later, they'll sit up looking like mangled corpses, but they're really alive. It's all a part of Surprise! The new reality show from NBC. Oh, God.
Ow. What's wrong?
Hold on. Help me.
What's wrong, Eric?
Every time I do an announcer voice, I get stuck.
Every time you do an announcer voice, you get stuck?
Yeah. God dang it.
What do you mean stuck?
My jaw is dislocated.
You mean from puking, like the announcer way?
Yeah. Hold on, hold on. No, it's not working.
Well, you're going to have to get unstuck there, dude.
You're going to have to get unstuck there, dude. Don't you think I know it?
Yeah, I know you know it, man. Man. I'm sure. Surprise! I'll tell you, I think it sounds like the most perverse idea I've ever seen in my life. You might as well have somebody... Hold on for a minute. What's going on, man?
Well, someone needs to hit me on the back of my head. Excuse me, man. Can you do that?
Yeah, okay.
Ow!
Yeah, oh, God, that's better, Phil. Woo! All right, let's try it one more time. Surprise!
Your show sucks, man.
I know.
So there it is, Surprise. It'll be coming this fall. They'll tell the kid their parents are dead, and then it's just a big fat joke. Why not? Death is the next taboo. Here's my prediction. See, death, everybody, they're freaked out by death, but actually death is nothing to freak out about because it's part of life, right? In other words, how can you freak out about death when it's the natural process of life? How can that possibly be something to freak out? The way you die, yeah, I could think of some nicer ways and some less nice ways. But dying, Jim, I mean, you can't avoid it.
So maybe in the next few years, somebody's going to get a big brainstorm or have a bowel movement, either one. They're both the same thing over television land. And they'll come up with an idea about how you can, you know, have some guy sit up in his casket while the old lady's sitting there going, oh, he was a wonderful, wonderful man. And, well, guess what, Mrs. Bottomley? He's not dead. And then you'll see her just go, and a little bit of blood out of the mouth. And, you know, it's... Surprise. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you get a piece of fat and try it off?
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Even though the guy has got the lowest approval rating of his presidency and there are concerns about his handling of Iraq, George Bush is still in the dead heat with John Kerry. Oh, man, how bad is Kerry? Okay, here we have from our show on Friday, Jeff Dowder, who believes that Michael Moore is so brilliant with his movie Fahrenheit 9/11 that Michael Moore ought to look into who killed John Kennedy and Princess Diana.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm listening to you right now, or just listen to you say everything that Michael knows.
Yeah, he has a great deal of information in his movie 9/11.
Uh-huh. Now, where did he get all his information?
Well, first of all, he sent camera crews undercover into the White House, and just, he's got Bush acting stupid and everything.
Uh-huh. Well, I
think you should
watch. If that's what you believe.
Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
No.
If that's what you believe.
No, you didn't see the
Bush
movie. It ain't showing in El Hambra
yet. Listen, if you believe Bush is acting stupid, you've got him beat by a mile.
I would die
if I had my kid being taught by a jerk like you. You better shape up, buddy.
Your kid can't get into Caltech, lady. That's where I...
Oh, Caltech, my foot. I live near Caltech, and I see the people that go there.
Your kid couldn't get into Caltech.
If you got in, buddy, I could get in. In any event, I...
Why don't you go see the movie? Why don't you go see the movie before you criticize things? And I think the reason why Bush didn't leave the kids right away is because Mike Moore proved that Bush didn't understand what happened. They said the plane exploded, and he's like, what? What does that mean? He was more interested.
Have you ever been fishing, or have you ever been around kids?
What is that supposed to mean?
It makes about as much sense as you're making.
Well, here's one thing that I know for a fact.
You know what?
They're going to let you in the Caltech.
And kiss
you're
Michael
too old.
Michael Morrison's ring.
How old are you anyway?
Older than you'll ever get to be.
His name's Moore, lady.
Moore or Moore, whatever the heck
you're
it is.
You're thinking about Jim Morrison, which was probably, you hated him.
No, I hate people like you.
Do you know how stupid you sound, Mr. Dowder?
Me? Are you listening to this lady? First of all, she says I'm stupid. Then she says she'd never seen the movie. Then she said that I was Morrison, and I said it's Moore. And then she's like, I could get into Caltech. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're too old. She goes, older than you'll ever be. Do you listen to it?
So what if I'm old? You know.
That's cool. I don't mind you
being old. How old are you?
I'm 28.
Oh, wow. Aren't you great? That's why E.T. is your favorite movie. I think you should spend more time reading something worthwhile.
You're the reason why
going to the movies.
You're the reason why there's home invasions of old people.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
my God.
Reason, and my husband is the reason that he fought in World War II so that idiots like you could expose yourself.
Oh, my God. Did you hear what she said?
Yeah.
She said, my husband's the reason there was World War II.
I did
How
not
big do you think
that.
You are? How
I
big
said
do you...
he fought in
no,
World War II.
No, she said he fought in World War II.
No, she said, and my husband's the reason there was a World War II.
I didn't
say that. No, she didn't say that.
I said he was in World War II.
I bet you think Caltech is
the reason that you're being allowed to make a fool of yourself trying to make a fool of the president.
I bet you think that Caltech's a sci-fi channel. Yeah, yeah.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know there's elections in Canada right now, Janice?
And the headline here, close elections in Canada could end Liberal rule. What does that mean? They're going to get a prime minister?
No, they're hoping to get Paul Martin out of there. I mean, Paul Martin's the Liberal leader. They're hoping he won't get reelected, but I think he's going
is
to.
Is he the guy that was Jean Chrétien?
Yeah, he took over from Jean Chrétien.
Vice dude. So who's the guy? Who's the conservative guy? Not that I hope a conservative goes in there, but...
Honestly, I don't know.
It might, you know, it might get more interesting up there. I'm kidding. Okay, that was Jeff Dowder, a real stoner, a real piece of work with... Have you seen Michael Moore's movie? Okay, have you seen it? I've seen it. Just like I said, man, just like Wag the Dog, like every other movie. And it's so profound, and it's so disturbingly, seriously deep. And you really have to be undereducated to buy anything in it, honest to God. First of all, let's take the segment of the movie dealing with the manipulation and exploitation of black soldiers. That's an argument that is as old as the ending of the draft. So we're going on now 30 years with that one. Hey, Moore, anything maybe you can tell us that we haven't heard? And the argument goes like this. Let's get all the blackies to go fight the war so Whitey doesn't have to go fight it. Now, that's a very easy thing to say, and most real, you know, guilt-ridden white folks will say that that's exactly what's going on. But there's a lot of things going on. Number one... It was a way, initially, for the Army, at least, in recruiting people, it was a way for African Americans, some of whom were coming from pretty low life conditions and very bad economic circumstances, to, yes, improve themselves. And so the Army and many of the corporations aligned with the Army went out and recruited in the African American neighborhoods. Now, if you got a problem with America's foreign policy, man, why don't you take it up with those black soldiers? Huh? What are you talking to me about it for? Why don't you talk to them? Why don't you educate them? You know, you want to know why? Because I got to listen to you. The only dumbass that's going to believe you is some guilty white man. African-American soldiers know exactly why they joined, fatso. And a lot of them joined for the food. You might consider it. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8666. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We are talking with Dr. Jim Sadler. His book is really a collection of psychological profiles of people and how people have changed since the experience of 9/11. How has it changed you? How has it changed me? Dr. Sadler joins us on the phone. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you.
I've often heard it said that 9/11 was a trauma, not unlike a war experience where one suffers traumatic stress for a long time. True?
This is true, Phil, for people who hold on to the negative energy of a horrible event like 9/11. It can last literally for years. What our book tries to do is take advantage of the experiences of people who turned it into a positive life change. And I have many stories in my book about those people, but the one we all have in common, it motivates us in different ways.
I know that I look at the world differently. Some of my politics have shifted. Some of my, I suppose, my viewpoints have sharpened.
Well, it does change us. I'm talking more from a almost a proactive way. I'll give you an example. In my case, since 9/11, I found myself resolving to free myself up, to not be as pent up. I'll tell you an interesting story. I mentioned it in my book. It was 4 months after 9/11, and I had been feeling what we all had been feeling, the fear and the depression, and I walked into a gymnasium in Hermosa Beach, and I enrolled in a three-week training program. And I got to tell you, I really got myself into shape. I traveled to Europe for some bodybuilding competition. And it was there that I learned the very relaxed ways that many Europeans have. And I returned to the United States with those.
Were those European ways you're talking about much different from the American ways that you returned to?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You were a much more open person?
Well, Yes, and I resolved to be true to myself more than anything else, not to let people tell me what to do anymore. I'm living for myself because life is too short. An example of this is the fact, in southern France and many of the people in Europe sunbathe, many of the men sunbathe wearing thong bathing suits. It was comfortable. I did that. And I felt at home, and because of my bodybuilding, I don't have an unattractive body to look at, when I returned home to America, I saw how tense everyone was on account of 9/11. So as an example, I would adopt the opposite idea. I began to do my gardening, my lawn mowing, trimming what have you, wearing this thong bathing suit or lycra shorts or the Polynesian sarong. And it got people talking in the neighborhood. So you
became a lot freer with your body, in other words.
Well, that way, and my attitude, yes.
And were the people accepting of you wearing, were you wearing a thong bathing suit? Or this is kind of revealing clothing, right?
Well, what happens, Phil, is people still hang on to 9/11. A lot of people are still hanging on to the negative energy, and they can't let go of the fear. And I find it really very interesting. On any given day, I will sunbathe on my front lawn, laying on my stomach, and it's interesting to see how many people are still hanging on to 9/11 and how many can simply enjoy the fact that they have a bodybuilder living across the street or next door and enjoy my body, because, and that they're not offended by it. That's what I guess my message is, to enjoy the fact that you have a bodybuilder, if you will, living next door to you, and not be outraged by the thong underwear. And
so people have, in your experience, been resisting you sunbathing on your front lawn in a thong? Is that...
Yes, absolutely. And
that is because of 9/11?
Well, because of the fear they have. Look, there are two elderly women who live across the street from me, and I've talked to them on occasion. And one of the things I try to do is sunbathe or do my gardening or even my exercising in the morning when they're in the kitchen. And I know they enjoy seeing a man with, you know, a developed physique, and I'll do stretches. I put my leg up on the fence. Sometimes I'll, you know, drink lemonade. I'll let it drip down my chest or this, or oil up, because these are elderly women and they can watch a well-developed man working out. It's just 9/11 not letting us, you know, controlling our fear.
All right, I'm talking here with Dr. Jim Sandler, a number 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. So you went out and you went and developed your, you got into bodybuilding as the result of this fear.
I was pent up with depression, yes.
And now you're living on a street where you're sunbathing in a thong and you're doing exercises and so on and so forth. Now, I guess my question is, what is the resistance? Obviously, there's people going to be upset with this, right?
Well, I get a visit from the young lady who was one of these ladies' daughters, and she asked me not to do the exercises, and I asked why, and she says she doesn't find it appropriate. I tell her, I'm doing them for the old ladies in the house. It's really none of your business. See, I told her it's none of your business. And in the past, I never would have said it's none of your business, but I told this young lady, who was the daughter of one of these old women, I said, it's none of your business. And then I realized what the problem was. She hasn't let go of 9/11. She's still hanging on to the fear and the pain and the anger of 9/11. And secondly, I realized that she probably in some way was just trying to meet me. I am a man in my mid-50s, but I'm built. And because of my bodybuilding, I'm very well developed. You know.
Are you married?
Yes, I am. Tracy and I are celebrating our second wedding anniversary next month.
So you have complaints from the neighborhood, and I want to ask you something. If you're feeling very free with your body, and you're feeling very, you know, you are a bodybuilder, and you wear a thong, and you're out in your front yard, and you feel that you've freed up because of 9/11, if I'm a father, let's say, and I have children, or a wife who doesn't like seeing you in your thong, if I come over to your house, what are you going to say?
Well, first of all, my hat's off to you, Phil. If you see, and I'm not a violent man, but if you just see my body, my hat's off to you. If you want to actually come over and you know, get up into my face about something, but
no, I'm not going to get into your face. I would simply say, Mr. Sadler or Dr. Sadler, you are sunbathing in a thong, and I have a wife and children who may find that offensive, or maybe I'm just offended on their behalf. Could you maybe not do that?
And you've come to my house to tell me?
Yes, I've come over to your house to say I recognize that you feel freer about yourself and you've gotten into bodybuilding since 9/11.
Well, that would be my first statement to you. I would say, why don't you let go of your fear about 9/11? Because what you're doing is you're using your wife and your children to mask the fact that you feel intimidated by my physique, you know. And that is only going to hurt you.
No, wait. I don't think you're understanding me. I'm not intimidated. Well, maybe I am intimidated by your physique, whatever, but I really don't want to see you sunbathing in a thong when my daughter is out playing or this kind of thing, you know?
Well, at that point, then I would say to you, it's let go of your fear of 9/11.
All right, let's establish that I don't have any fear about 9/11. I just don't want you sunbathing in a thong.
At that point, then I'd say that, you know, you're a very brave man coming over and telling me to get up into my face about stuff. And
I'm not getting into your face.
Well, you are if you're asking me to alter my lifestyle. And you're projecting your insecurities on me instead of healing your pain over 9/11.
No, but I'm saying to you, I'm not in any pain over... Maybe I'm in pain over 9/11 still, but I am simply asking...
Well, see, that's a good admission. That you're
not. No, but I'm saying you're in a thong, and you're oiled up, and you're laying out on your stomach, sunbathing on your front lawn, while my daughter, my wife, or perhaps even other females of the neighborhood are walking around...
Then you see that there, we're at the crux, then it's none of your business. See, it's none of your...
Well, my daughter, it is my business.
Well, your daughter, yes, it is your business, but your wife or the other lady...
Yeah, it's my wife, it's my business, too.
Well, she's an adult, and if she's enjoying it...
Wait a minute. How do you know she's enjoying it, man? I mean, she may say to me, look at that guy in his thong, he looks like an idiot.
Well, I can assure you, because I know... Yeah, look, my wife is 22. I'm 55. So I think I know a little bit about women, and I can tell you.
So in other words, if you're laying out there oiled up in a thong, oh man, I can't believe, dude. You know
what?
You're trying to tell me. All right, you're out laying on your stomach in a thong. And my wife, you say, is getting her jollies looking at you, so it's none of my business.
No, I'm saying that any woman, whether she's married or not, that's her business if she wants to enjoy my body.
It's not the business of the husband.
No, how could it be? She is an adult and is completely independent of him. And
so if a husband comes over to you and says, I don't want you on your front lawn sunbathing like that, my wife can see it. You're saying that he's getting up into your face.
Yes, he is. And, again, my hat's off to anyone who will walk over to me, because if 9/11 never happened, you wouldn't be bothered by me oiling up. But because of 9/11, this is the problem.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. This gentleman, Dr. Jim Sadler, after 9/11, got into bodybuilding and eventually, I guess, traveled to France. He now sunbathes and does gardening and everything in a thong. And you know what a thong, piece of thong underwear is? It basically is just like, you know, dental floss up the butt crack. He's on his front lawn doing all of this, and apparently it's nobody's business but his own. He seems to think the women in the neighborhood enjoy it. There are a couple of elderly women who live across the street from him that he says he does pull-ups on a tree, etc. And I just want to, I ask him, look, if a husband comes over to you and says, I'd rather you not do this, my wife is watching, he says, it's none of our business as husbands. Now, he says that this is all post 9/11 trauma, that if 9/11 hadn't happened, I'd be cool with him in his thong on his front lawn. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800. Let's forget about the men. What about the women? He says the women enjoy him. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you ask Mommy to scoop you an extra helping of dumb tonight?
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm with Dr. Jim Sadler, who has written a book on 9/11 and how the experience has changed so many people. You went to Europe, you started bodybuilding, you've come back to the United States. Are you teaching?
I am teaching, Phil, teaching at Morrison College, and I'm also, I've written, obviously, the book, and doing a lot of different things, enjoying my marriage to my lady, and enjoying the fact that I feel so good with, you know, all of the weightlifting that I do. And
okay, and all of that is fine. When you are approached by a contingent of homeowners to not be out in your front yard doing leg lifts and this kind of thing, you do chin-ups from trees?
I've got an oak tree in my front yard. Let me tell you about that. I do a number of chin-ups and leg lifts. This is very standard.
Well, this was said apparently by a group of...
Can I say what it actually is as opposed to what this group of right-wingers in the neighborhood say it is?
But let me just tell you what they say it is, and then respond to that, okay?
All right.
They say that you are doing leg lifts hanging off of a tree, and that you are raising your legs up so high that certain parts of your anatomy is very noticeable, especially since you're in a thong. They also say that you were doing those leg lifts while a bus from one of the local elementary schools was letting kids out. Is that correct?
So that makes me a pervert now, is that...
But is that correct?
Well, let me just tell you. Yes, I do leg lifts. I do them primarily for the elderly women across the street who are...
Have these women asked you to do exercises so they can watch your body? Have they asked you?
No, they haven't asked me, but they're two elderly women. You put two and two together. They're two elderly women. They're both sisters. They're living alone. I don't see a lot of men going in and out of there. I see the daughter of one of the ladies going in and out. You put two and two together. Brother, you're going to get. Okay?
So, well, I'm putting two and two together. It doesn't necessarily mean these are two old women that want to see you oil up and do chin-ups.
Well, then maybe you should read from the math book that I'm reading from, because my book says two old ladies, you know, I'm giving them a break. Checking me out. So, here I...
You really think you're something, don't you?
No, I don't think I'm something. Look, Mr. Henry, this is all about 9/11. And
no, I know it's all about 9/11, but you're saying any man, any husband, anybody who says that they'd rather you not be out on your front lawn doing leg lifts, and what is this doing stretches with one leg up on the fence?
It's for the old ladies who...
All right, so you admit that when you do a stretch with your leg up on the fence, they can see something?
No, they can't see something. Yeah, they see me.
And the squats with your back to their house?
I use a barbell, yes.
But you're doing the squats with your back to their house?
Yes. Can I just say one thing, Phil? Your fear from 9/11 is just dripping off of you. And
no, sir, this is not 9/11. This is simply a neighborhood of people who don't want to see you exposing yourself.
No, it's 9/11 fear.
Let me go over here to Wendy, who's on the line. Wendy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes.
I'd like to ask the gentleman why he's doing this in public. There are clubs that one can join if one wants to be an exhibitionist. It's very disgusting. Nobody wants to walk down the street or look out of their house and see some man flaunting his body on the front lawn. That is not the place to be doing that.
Well,
now, there are places to go where you can do that. You don't have to do it in public in front of everybody.
I understand. But the question was asked me, well, how have I changed since 9/11? And since 9/11, I don't have the fear.
I think you use 9/11 as an excuse to be an exhibitionist.
Well, ma'am, I'm not showing. I'm not decently exposing myself. No, I am not. I'm wearing a thong underwear. See, even you're enjoying it.
No, I'm not
enjoying it.
Well, you're laughing. In fact, I find that you're...
Well, why are you laughing?
Time of, I'm laughing because I think it's very sad.
Yeah,
a man has to go out on the lawn.
I'm a psychologist, and I can tell you that your laughter is hysteria.
You are an exhibitionist.
Your laughter is hysteria.
There are places that are for people like you that you can go join a club and show off all you want without having to discuss
the neighbors. Well, it sounds to me like you get a kick out of it, you know, and I think you'd be far better off.
I think your words on women are very derogatory. How do you know?
Excuse me?
That's very derogatory. How do you know how women feel about seeing you out in your front lawn with a thong on?
First of all, these are two old biddies.
Oh,
I'm giving them a break.
That's a nice way of describing them, two old biddies. That's
very complimentary. What I'm trying to say is I'm giving them a break. They can check me out. They're having their coffee.
Maybe they're not hard up, just fed up, sweetie.
You know, you Brits always sunbathe in the nude. What do you? Why am I not allowed to?
No, we don't all sunbathe in the nude, and obviously I don't.
Well, a lot of these Europeans that I saw when I was over there, they're always showing, and they ain't showing much, let me tell you that, but they're showing it. So I decided...
Well, look, you think you're hot looking. That's fine. The question is, why are you trying to force these old women across the street to watch it, and why are you not respecting the wishes of your neighbors who say, please don't do it, my kids?
It's none of their business. If the women enjoy... Wendy here, if she saw me... She'd be on me in a New York minute.
Oh, I don't believe this. How could you possibly know that?
If you saw the way I'm built, you'd be all over me like stink on you know what.
I don't think so, and I think you have a very low opinion of women, and you have an even higher opinion of yourself that maybe not be shared with the rest of the neighborhood.
I'll tell you what people want to see. They want to see a happy America, a healed America, okay? I'm bronze, all right? I've worked a long time on my tan. A long time. And when I show that to the ladies in the neighborhood, I do some flexing.
Well,
they're probably looking at you thinking they wonder when you're going to get skin cancer.
I'll tell you right now, I can crack a walnut right where the thong sits. I can crack a walnut there.
And...
Oh, you tell me you don't want to see that.
No, not particularly, no.
All right, hey, listen, Wendy, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Should this man be allowed to wear his thong out there in public? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Dr. Jim Sadler. His book profiles a number of people and how their psyches have changed, how their experiences, how they've changed as people since the experience of 9/11. You have chronicled on our show and in your book how you changed. You've become a bodybuilder, correct?
That is correct, Phil, although weightlifting and bodybuilding do go hand in hand. In fact, I'm in a gym right now, which is a neighborhood gym that I use.
All right, and you've said that because of that, you've developed a nice-looking body, and you are out on your front lawn sunbathing in a thong, which is a tradition that you learned in Europe.
Yeah, you know, there's an awful lot we have to learn from the Europeans. I'm very sorry that we see them as the enemy in a lot of ways, because the Europeans showed me how to loosen up and... just sort of let it all hang out, and so I, when I am relaxing, I am on the front lawn doing a variety of exercises, bending my knees over my head, and.
But all of those exercises are designed to show people your body, isn't that right?
Well, no, they're not designed, but they do, and. I wish you wouldn't concentrate so much on this.
Well, you got this lady that asked you not to do it.
But those old women have been... They've been in their house thinking that Al-Qaeda's going to get them. I'm trying to get them to feel good about America again by doing fun things. Like, I run through the sprinklers in the front lawn or doing scissor kicks on the porch. You know, I did a thing the other day. I held the garden gloves between my buttocks to show the muscle strength. And all of this... Like right now, I'm doing heavy compound lifts right now because I'm always working on my body.
And all right, let me go to a phone call. 1-800-449-8686. Kenny, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, man. Doc, are you crazy? Are you a moron? You got to be crazy. Listen, I've been lifting since I was 20, and I'm 43. I don't need to be in the front yard showing off to everybody else.
But why do you hide it?
All they need to know is who I am inside, not about looking at me on my front lawn. And I'll tell you right now, if I'm in your neighborhood, I'll be happy to walk up and say, hey, man, could you put some pants on? Nobody else in the neighborhood wants to see your bronze little buns.
Well, you know, first of all, congratulations on your weightlifting career, and secondly, I wish you felt more free with yourself to be able to show off your physique, which you have earned, especially when you're giving some of the ladies in the neighborhood a break. I mean, look at half of these guys that they're married to. You see what I'm saying? If you're a little more European, you'd be out there on the front lawn in a nice brown thong or whatever you want to wear, showing the ladies what it's all about.
Is that what I'd be
doing?
You're
kidding.
Man, you know what? This body's for my wife. It's not for anybody else. You got a wife? Share it with her. Not everybody else in the neighborhood.
What do you lift?
Where do I lift or what do
what,
I lift?
What do you lift?
As far as...
Wait,
talking max? You talking...
Yeah, what's your max?
Oh, my max has been over 400. Now it's probably 310.
Oh, really? How? What? Would you kind of sliding a little bit, huh?
As you get older, you know, you just other things take priority.
Well, listen
kids
to this.
Take priority. Wives take priority.
I'm gonna
tell you right now, I have three daughters, and you know, I don't want any of them looking
well,
at your butt. I'll
that
be
was
honest
my point.
With you.
Do you do any of those DB presses? Can you do them seated?
DB presses for what?
I can do the max on a hip abductor machine. Listen to this. Oh, yeah.
Okay, look, Dr. Sadler.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear
you. You a man?
Well, what are you talking about?
Look, this man made a good point.
That does nothing for me. That does nothing for me. Hey. And if you're trying to tell me that it's got something to do with 9/11, you're crazy.
No.
You're crazy, man.
The fact
that... Nothing in 9/11's got nothing to do with you wanting people to look at your body.
No, the fact that you don't want to wear a thong is because you're still afraid of 9/11.
Oh, I see. I see.
What
is my fear? That's what I want to know, because I see no fear in 9/11. Those people aren't intimidating to me. Those people aren't, you know, I don't worry about those people.
Have you ever done a hack squat calf raise?
Oh, come off it, man.
All right, look, Mr. Sadler or Dr. Sadler.
I am a doctor.
All right. The point here, and Kenny alluded to it, if he has daughters who are coming in and out of the house and see this, wouldn't you respect the father who comes over and says, would you mind, my daughters are out here?
Well, I mean, what's he afraid of? 9/11, that's what he's afraid of. Why is he...
Wait a minute, he's saying, I don't care, maybe even my wife doesn't care. My kids, I care about them.
That's right, and I say, hey man... How about if you're going to put that thong on, go to your backyard instead of the front yard, because nobody in the neighborhood wants to see it.
Well, I would say this, Kenny. The day that you're able to put your pain away for 9/11 is the day you'll be out on your lawn doing swish kicks in a thong. That's all I can tell you.
He said it isn't about 9/11. And it isn't about 9/11 for me. It's about, if I'm in a neighborhood for crying out loud, man, I'd like to have a little bit of decency on the outside of the house. Instead of, you know, put it in the backyard, like the guy said. Okay, hey, Kenny, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Sarah. Sarah, go ahead.
Yes, first of all, I want to say
I've
that,
I've got a
you
beautiful
know, first,
body.
I would like to say that it's part of my husband's input. It's for him to input. He can give the input to say that he don't want me to see something. And I would totally honor that.
Well, but he's going to come up to me and say, put some pants on, and meanwhile, you're the one that suffers.
Well, I'm woman enough, I would come over myself and ask you, you know, could you at least, especially in the neighborhood, especially when you have children. And I don't know if you have any children.
No, I don't.
I don't know what type of morals you have. But
well, oh, I don't
walk around like that around children in the neighborhood.
I'm not naked. I'm a weightlifter, for God's sake. I'm not a perv. Good Lord.
But you're in a freaking bathing suit, dude, that shows everything, okay?
I don't wear a bathing suit. I don't even put a bathing suit on my children.
She thinks that you're me and I'm her.
No, excuse me. Sarah, this is Phil Henry. I'm saying to him.
Oh.
Ma'am,
okay.
If you saw me in a thong, you'd be as close to nirvana as you ever get. I'm pretty hot.
Not to me.
Well,
not
how do you know?
Me.
You've never even seen me.
I know that. I know for a fact. Because first of all, you said you're blonde. I've never. I don't like blondes. First of all,
I'd say I was blonde. But listen to this. I'm going to do for you, Sarah, I'm going to do a close grip bench press. Listen to this.
I don't need to listen to none of that.
Yeah!
That does not turn me on. Blondes don't turn me on. And what you're doing don't turn me on. It's
you
not
like
all in the looks and what you can do.
You like weightlifting?
Well, what are you doing, Dr. Sadler? You lifting weights for kicks?
Women are impressed by it.
No, he's impressed by what he's doing. That does not impress me.
I can crush a cinder block.
And?
With, and? You know, with a crowd. Listen to this. Triceps. You bastard! Oh, man.
How is that attractive to a woman, you cursing?
I just, I'm sorry, it's the pain, basically.
She has no morals. That's what it is.
Well, I do have morals. I'm a married man. My wife and I are married 2 years.
You're a married man, and your wife lets you go out like that?
My wife is very liberated.
I would have no respect for you.
My wife?
No respect for you.
She's 22.
Do you have any children?
Not as of yet. We're just 2 years married, although I'm planning on having many. Here, listen to this, Sarah. Five
reps. And so you would walk around for your children like that?
Well, I certainly wouldn't have my children be ashamed of their father and the beauty of God's creation, man. Now listen, here are five reps of hammer curls.
Well, that's why God Adam and Eve. I don't need to listen to all this.
Listen to this guy. You know what, man? You're putting me off any idea of ever lifting weights as long as I live.
Why? It's fun.
Yeah, that sounds like kicks to me. Did you hear that, cat? He was screaming, man. Five reps of hammer curls. Dr. Jim Sadler's book is called Psychological Profiles and How They've Changed People Since the Experience of 9/11. Yes, sir.
Here's a shrug and a deadlift. Ow!
All right, 1-800... 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, a lot of women find me very sassy.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
My kids were at a weightlifting or a bodybuilding thing on Saturday night. My oldest son is really getting into bodybuilding because one of his friends is into it. And it's doing him, he looks great, you know. These guys are, I mean, every morning at the gym and this and that, right? Anyway, they went over to a weightlifting competition on Saturday night. And I get that there's a lot of different aspects to it. I suppose one of them is like a pose off or something where you show each guy your, you know, different poses. But there was one dancing competition involving female bodybuilders. And my kids were telling me this at dinner. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but it was funny because they said this one lady got up there. You should have seen it. She started dancing to like an oldies tune, right? You know, 1, 2, 3 o'clock, and she's like a bodybuilder chick. So she's doing this dancing, and she's doing some sexy moves and kind of a come hither thing with her finger and all that stuff. And suddenly, they heard her start screaming as she dropped to the floor and go, ow, 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 get somebody, ow, 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 get someone out. And the kids thought it was part of the song. They thought it was like it was going to go into death metal or something. Apparently, she dislocated her leg as she was doing this dance. Must have been pretty embarrassing. And I'm sorry to have to tell you, I laughed my ass off when I heard about it. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Henry. Not your traditional talk show host, no. But certainly well-meaning, at least in all the right areas. Something like that. I got a heart in the right spot. 1-800-449-8686. So anyway, today the United States renewed diplomatic ties with Libya. Not a big thing. Nobody noticed. No one cares. No one remembers when we were bombing Libya, do you? Anybody remember when Reagan was sending the jets down there to bomb them?
Remember when they were blowing up discos in Germany? Remember when Libya had ties to the murder of American students on the plane over Lockerbie, Scotland? Remember all of those days? Well, those days are behind us because Muammar Gaddafi's government is now officially recognized by the United States. And as I said to you guys almost a year ago, Bush will be on his way to Libya. And right now, I got to tell you something, and I don't mean any disrespect. I know I've been frustrated in the past. I got to tell you, the American people right now are so confused, they wouldn't know the sun was up unless someone told them. Someone has to tell them the sun's up. That's how utterly confused and unable to deal with the information the American people are. I can see it. I can see it in these poll results. Bush at an all-time low approval rating. If people were actually able to see, as opposed to just believing what they're told, if they were able actually to see and to digest the information, he wouldn't be at an all-time low. Although it's traditional for presidents before they're reelected to be at all-time lows. I don't know whether Bush is going to get reelected. I honestly don't. I'm going to vote for the guy, but maybe that's his death knell. For all I know, if Henry voting for him, every freaking guy I vote for seems he doesn't win other than Clinton. I voted for Clinton twice. By God, he won twice. First president I ever voted for that made it. First guy I ever voted for that made it. All the other guys stunk it out. Carter. No. Excuse me, Carter. Anyway, right now the American people are in such a state of utter confusion that they don't even want to hear it. They'll just tell them, yes, it's good for you. They'll believe it. But they're not going to believe what's in front of their eyes, in front of their faces, right? This is a piece of information that is so significant, it's just beyond words, that Libya now has official ties to the United States. Now, it's not going to get, this lady was telling me earlier, she says, you don't hear about it from the traditional media. The media. Oh my God, if I hear the media getting bashed one more, of course the media is full of crap. It's made up of people. The media is comprised of human beings like every other profession. So it's imperfect. And it's slanted, and it's all the things I've been telling you about. If you want the news, man, you got to go out and find it, baby. It ain't going to come flying into your lap like the traditional proverbial chicken coming home to roost, man. It just ain't going to do it. You got to go out and find it, for God's sake. The media is not telling me anything. Why isn't the media telling me, oh, you know what, dude, even if they came, if they gave it to you gift-wrapped, you wouldn't understand it. You wouldn't say crap if you had a mouthful of it, as my old man used to say. So anyway, this is so significant, it's beyond words, that George Bush was able to, of course, people will find fault with it, naturally, it's bad, it's this, it's that, if Bush is so against terrorism, why is he having diplomatic relations with Libya? This is the same thing they said about Nixon when he established ties with China. Why are you doing business with the communists and this and that? And of course, as we find out from Oliver Stone's great movie, Nixon said, I can establish relations with communists because I've got a lifetime of credentials fighting communists. And the same thing with Bush. He's got the anti-terrorist credentials, so he can do business with a government, formerly a terrorist government. Now, this is going to be significant from a lot of perspectives. Libya is the first traditional Muslim anti-Western government or nation to actually reach out to us. And that can have some effect in the rest of the Middle East. It's not a bad thing, anyway, when you establish diplomatic relations with a country that was formerly a terror-sponsoring country and that has now renounced it. That's not a bad thing, okay? Some people may try to make it bad, but it's not a bad thing. I'm sure it'll get second-guessed, but just as the Iraqi government, Iraqi sovereignty is going to be second-guessed. Oh, it's not Iraqi sovereignty. There's 140,000 troops still in this country. Yeah, man. I mean, what do you think's going to happen, really, seriously, if we pull American troops out of that country? I guess if we pull the troops out of that country, then that's what will happen is exactly what Fat Ass and everybody like him wants to happen. A civil war, more horror and pain than even Saddam Hussein could possibly have inflicted, and decades of warlords. That's what will happen. Is that what you want? You want 140,000 American troops out of there? Well, we should have NATO. Yeah, you're right. We should have NATO, but freaking NATO's dragging their ass, aren't they? Well, what about the United Nations? Okay, sounds good to me. They pulled out in the minute a bomb went off. And by the way, United Nations, they're up to their ass in trouble with that oil for food. You think they got any time to be fooling around with Iraq now? They were in business with Saddam Hussein. They were stealing money from the Iraqi people. What other great brain surgeon suggestions have you got? Well, we just shouldn't be there. All right, we'll pull out, man. We'll go ahead, we'll pull our troops out, and you watch what happens. And I hope you feel real good about it. Well, it never would have happened if Bush hadn't gotten in there in the first place. That's right, it never wouldn't have happened, man. And Saddam would still be there, and people would still be getting their tongues pulled out, and you'd be sitting there on your fat ass at the Starbucks having a great time. And hey, Michael Moore would still be wandering around trying to sell another bad movie. This way, he's a millionaire, and you got something to scream about. Ain't that good? Well, I guess you're right. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.